Thank you. Seaport. We're up here to give you a prayer and a word about the Blessing Project coming up this coming weekend. And we're glad that God is faithful and He's giving us another opportunity to win souls to Christ. And that's our ultimate goal, to bless the community and to pray for them. And I'm going to have Melissa pray, and then after the service, we're going to have a meeting, 10 to 15 minutes over here on this side. Whether you're interested in a different weekend, that's fine. If you haven't registered, that's fine. Just meet us over there, and we'll have a brief meeting. Thanks.
So this is our opportunity to bless our community in their stomachs and in their souls. And join with me, and let's pray. So, Lord, we are so excited that you've given us this opportunity. We are so excited that you directed CityServe to our church, that we, as a body of believers, can bless our community. We can show them love. We can show them respect. We can show them that they are cared for. And we can show them Jesus. Oh, Lord, I pray that the weather be good. Ha, ha, ha. I pray, Father, that the backs are strong to lift these boxes. I pray that the prayers are bathing this project, Lord, and that you hear from heaven an answer. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing all this, and all the glory goes to you, Father God. We pray for the people who come. We pray that their hearts would be prepared, Lord, to receive not only the blessing of food, but the blessing of your word and the truth of Jesus Christ. So we ask you now, Lord, to prepare those hearts, to break up that fallow ground, Lord, and to lift the veils over those eyes so that we can see people come and see the kingdom of heaven advanced on Saturday. In Jesus' name, I pray for every volunteer and every person thinking about volunteering, Lord. I pray that you would not allow anything to distract or deter from them being able to give this gift. In Jesus' name. Okay, so go ahead and be seated. We're looking forward to everybody coming to the meeting. And right now, I don't know about you, but 2020 was kind of a drag. It was a difficult year. But we had a lot of interesting things happen, a lot of good things happen. And so we're going to watch a video. Thank you.
In the presence of my enemies, when the storm is crashing down on me, I will trust in what I cannot see. I wait for you, I wait for you. You can part the violent sea. You can reach the depths of me.
Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus. Thank you, Carolyn. I was watching that, and all I could think of was this. Ain't no virus stopping this place. Amen. Woo. Actually, I have such tremendous memories of 2020. Drive-in services, I mean, outdoor services, drive-in movie nights. Oh, my word. All kinds of crazy. Yeah, it was pretty stressful. Still is. But thanks for just adjusting with us and going. Thanks, Carolyn, for that video. It was just so great to see all those things again. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? So, yeah. And again, thanks. Give Carolyn a good clap. That was a lot of work. Put all that together. Thank you, Carolyn. Woo. Hallelujah. It's you that make this place go. And I just want to do a quick couple of real quick shout outs here. And those of you that are stepping into ministry and maybe doing some new things or old things again. I don't know what it might be, but we've got Virgin now, you know, working the camera. How about that? You always see her up here. She's doing that. You know, the nursery around here is so important. And so I'm so glad Nicole stepped into that. You know, that's great. And yeah, and you can keep clapping. Now, you can't see this, but there's some of us that can see it and really appreciate it. All upstairs is a massive attic. It's mad. Now, there's a bunch of people who wouldn't want to clean that thing. But then Bethany went up and organized all of the Christmas stuff. Now, this place has got massive amounts of Christmas stuff. And so she went and organized that. Thank you for doing that. That was a lot of work. I mean, every one of those wreaths that you see around here, they're 5 feet tall. You know, and so those things are huge. And so all the, I mean, people are just, you guys are making it happen around here. You know, and we're so, Alex just stepped into Rangers. Thank you, Alex. Yeah, James Parks back into Rangers on Wednesday night. That's great. Jenna into nursery. Thank you for doing that. Wow. And then you've seen the new Bibles that we're giving out to kids and new believers. And Linda Roche went and wrapped all of those and made those so nice. And see all those different things, you know, we're just doing these shout outs to simply say thank you because it's you guys that make this place go. Thanks so very, very much. Appreciate that. If you're visiting today, I'm Pastor Brad. Great to have all of you here. We welcome you. You can connect with us. We say this, we don't believe you're here by coincidence. We believe that you're here because God brought you here. God wants to do something in you, and he wants to do something through you. So we want to facilitate that and be part of it. The way to do that is connect with us. You can do that. You can go to the information center and you can fill out an information card. You can kind of do it the old-fashioned way, old-school way, or you can do it the contactless digital way. Text welcome to the number on the screen. A little link will come back to you. Press on the link and then complete that little card. It only takes you a minute to do that, and then you're connected to us. That's a great way to do it. Let's welcome our visitors. We love to clap around here, and so we're going to do that. Woo! Amen. Amen. All right, just a couple other quick things here as we're moving right along here. As we get ready to honor the Lord with our giving. Someone asked me about my favorite passage of scripture when it comes to money management, and one of those is Luke 16, where Jesus tells two very important things about giving. There, he says, you know what? If you're faithful in little, God will bless you and make you ruler over much. You see, when you tithe, you're telling the Lord, you can trust me with this amount, you can trust me with more when you bless me. Right? That's what you're doing. And then Jesus says something else very interesting in Luke 16. He says this, that if I can trust you with material possessions, then I will trust you with true riches, spiritual blessings. Isn't that interesting? It's interesting. So when we give today, we're doing two things. We're saying, when you, especially, you know, you give, you tithe, when you do that, you're simply saying, Lord, you can trust me with this. You can trust me with more. How about that? And the second thing is, God, you can trust me with the material things you've given to me. Now you can trust me with things that really matter, spiritual wisdom and insight and blessings. Amen? So let's just show ourselves trustworthy in that today and just bless the Lord. Next week, we'll do the 90-day challenge. And I'm going to show you something. I got it just this morning. It just came in this morning. I asked a couple that was here a lot of years ago, a military couple. They took this challenge, and in this video, it was years ago that they did this, and this, I got it this morning. They're going to tell you what has happened to them because they took the challenge and they practiced it and what God has done over now 20 years. You're going to hear that next week. It's kind of a remarkable story. And they were just a young military couple when they were here. And so it's a great story. But we're going to do that. We'll take that challenge. And the challenge is very simple. Is that you faithfully honor the Lord with your tithe for 90 days. And if you don't see God's blessing or you run into some kind of financial crisis at the end of the 90 days, you contact me, contact Robert too. You can do that too. And we will refund everything that you gave during that 90 days. How about that? Because we believe God will bless your life. Amen? So that's hallelujah. So today, you know, if you're visiting, there's no pressure to give. None at all. Obviously, there's ways to give. The kiosk out there, you can do it that way. You can do it online. You can do it through the app. However you'd like to do it, there's plenty of ways to do it. Also, on the video you just saw will now soon be available on the app. You'll be able to go onto the app. In the bottom corner, it says More. You'll be able to just click on that. You'll see where it says Seaport Videos. That will appear there pretty soon. You can also watch the services live on the app, too, now. So that's all there on Seaport's Church Center app. Isn't that great? So hallelujah. So that's up-to-date stuff all the time. A couple of other quick things, and then Adam is coming. Share the word with us. And, Ladies Craft Night, that's coming up. Yeah, you want to be part of that. You can all the sign-up, you can do it right through the app. You can go out here and do it, too, at the kiosk. You can do it, too, but okay. Activate is also coming. That's your first step. If you want to jump in and be involved in serving, that's the first step to do that. I'm excited. Wednesday night, we're going to continue the series through Drive Through History, where it's a video, look, and we go to the places that you see in the Bible. Now we're writing the book of Acts with Paul's journeys, and it's really been, it's been really insightful. On Wednesday night, not only do we have really effective worship in here, and not only do we have, the various studies and things that we do in here, but in that part of the building, there's a lot that goes on. And the gals back there in Impact, I love this. I love this. They're studying about the right kind of diet and the right kind of exercise so they can be ready to do the will of God. That's what the girls are learning. Now, the guys is a little different this time. Some of them are learning. I read this, and I said, they're learning how snares and traps work. You say, what? Here's the interesting part. Along with that, they're studying 2 and 3 John and Jude, which talks about spiritual traps. So, you see how it all works together? So, hallelujah. We're going to jump right into the series. We're going to wrap this series up next week, but Adam is coming right now. And it is just, you would think that somebody bigger than us planned this series and how it all plays out. I think it'll make sense to you as we jump into today's topic, especially as you watch this opening clip. Let's watch.
I am not a destroyer of companies. I am a liberator of them.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA. Thank you very much.
I am not...
I love capitalism. No, I'm being serious. I am a free market guy. I believe in a true free market, not the one that we've been sold in this country. I believe in a market that is free from the chains of regulation and legislation and especially bureaucracy, because I believe that if you make the best product at the cheapest price, then you deserve the pay and you deserve the patronage. I believe in supply and demand, and that the market should determine what a product is worth by how much people are supposed to pay for it, how much they want to pay for it. And I believe this because all transactions should be voluntary. No one has the right to the fruits of your labor, not the government or anybody else. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, income tax is sinful. Rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's, it doesn't include a piece of what I earned simply because I've earned it. No, that is covetousness on a governmental scale. It goes by the motto of you make more, they take more. Does that make me greedy? Because as much as I believe those things that I just said, and yes, I believe everything I just said, and I believe the Bible will back me up, I also believe that what Gordon Gekko says is reprehensible. Greed is not, in fact, good. And we've seen the naked greed of those Wall Street types in full display this week, have we not? I'm expecting to see some extra tithe money this week from all that GameStop stock that we bought. Don't you love how they just like to flip the board over? Game's over. Greed is not good, ladies and gentlemen. But this causes us to have to hold these two ideas in our head at the same time, right? Because to create a good product, to create a reputable business should bring profit to us. That is good. That is God-honoring. However, greed makes an idol of that profit. Greed makes a false god out of that money and possessions that can come along with it. Here's how the author of Radical Prosperity puts it. He says, true prosperity and greed can never coexist at the same time. One is from God. The other is a distorted evil motive. One carries eternal rewards and the other only earthly pleasures. One satisfies the whole man while its counterpart can only provide temporary pleasure. Three times he makes the distinction between prosperity as a good and godly pursuit and greed as sin. Because seeking after wealth and money and things as an end goal, it makes them an idol. It draws us away from the one true God of the Bible. And that work that we do for these things, whether it's for an idol or for God, it's worship. See, we don't think of work as worship, but we should. We should, because it shows where our heart truly is. So if we're working to honor God, if we're working and doing things to take care of the family that He has blessed us with or ourselves, that is good, and that shows worship towards God. But if we're working for more worldly possessions, if we're working for more money just as an end goal, then we are worshiping an idol. Let's give some examples, shall we? What about that mega church pastor, that one with the airplane? If he has that airplane in order to bring food and Bibles to far-off lands, or maybe even remove persecuted Christians from far-off lands, that's good. But what if he's got that airplane to get back and forth to million-dollar speaking events without having to deal with the common folk in commercial airports and on commercial airlines? Now, All right, let's bring it down, because I don't think any of us in this room have to worry about the taxes we have to pay on an airplane, right? But greed is not only for the rich, no matter what anybody in the Congress or Senate will tell you. Those are not the only greedy people. Because if they were, I mean, why would I bother preaching that in this room this morning? Let's be honest. I'd probably be having some other inflammatory topic to preach on. But let's bring it down. What can we actually relate to? What about those Christmas presents you bought last year? What about the extra hours that you spent to buy things for your family? Did you buy them so that you could bless your family with something they really needed or just really wanted and would make their lives better? Or did you spend those hours at work so that when the wrapping paper was torn off, you could be the hero? Or maybe just to get you out of the doghouse with your wife. See, two people can do the same thing up to a point, whether it's us or that megachurch pastor. They can do the same thing. And for one person, it's greed. And for the other person, it honors God. Oh, that requires nuance. And I know, as Americans, we don't like to hear nuance anymore. We don't want to make any allowances for freedom or grace. No more. We don't like to admit that it's a gray area. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we live. We live in the gray. Thankfully, God is gracious. And he has given us a book that leads us through any amount of gray in our lives. And isn't it awesome? Isn't it wonderful that the God of the Bible, the creator of heaven and earth, is also the God of economics? It's true. He is not just a God of obscure spiritual truths. And you know that I love those obscure spiritual truths. But he's also the God of the day-to-day. He has given us his word to guide us through every decision that we make, every single piece of our lives. He has given us this guidance. And the more we think of it that way, the more we allow the Bible to create our worldview, no matter what part of the world we're working in, the more we will want to be in the Word, because we know that it will guide us, and it will guide us into good. So let's get into that Word this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is where we're going to go to that oft misquoted verse. Yes, you know what's coming. This is from Paul's first letter to his protege, Timothy, who was stationed in Ephesus. And if you were with us on Wednesday for Drive-Thru History, we learned quite a bit about Ephesus. It is a very affluent place. It is full of idols. This is a hotbed for greed. So Paul sent Timothy this letter with a multitude of warnings in it. Because Timothy was on his way to being a big-time preacher. He was Paul's number one guy. This was going to bring him a bunch of acclaim. This was going to draw attention to him. So Paul knew that he would be vulnerable to the snares and the traps of this world. In the third chapter of this letter, he told Timothy that no one in church leadership should be greedy for deceitful gain. And that's good advice, because if we surround ourselves with greedy people, there's a good chance that we are going to start to act the same way. And in chapter 6, where we're going today, Paul talks about the outgrowth of these greedy intentions and what comes from this sin. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 3 and read through verse 10. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness is with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and been pierced themselves with many pangs. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word this morning, how it guides us, how it is a lamp to our feet, Lord. I pray this morning that you would keep me from error, God. Get the preacher out of the way and have your way with us this morning. God, that you would give us eyes to see what you want to show us, Lord. Ears to hear what you want to say to us, Lord. And when we leave this morning, give us feet to walk out these truths as we lift high the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So Paul, in this passage, is talking specifically about preachers and teachers. Now, Christianity is just kind of starting on its rise. So there are some people that thought, well, hey, if I get in on the ground floor of this, I can probably use it to get myself some acclaim. I can probably get myself some following and maybe even some money off of it. Paul didn't like that. Paul explains to Timothy that this is the obvious fruit of greedy intentions. He says that these people are covetous. But just because he's talking about preachers and teachers doesn't mean that this doesn't apply to all sorts of careers. I mean, we see it today. Paul says that a craving for controversy is a dead giveaway for greed. Now, we have a phrase for that in today's parlance. Call it clickbait. Clickbait. It's that thing with a really juicy title, and you get into it, and there's no substance to the article at all. It's just a craving for that controversy. It shows. We used to have sayings like, you know, "sex sells," and while yes, that is still true, we find more and more now that outrage sells. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Because these people with these clickbait titles, they're not looking for the betterment of the people. They're just looking for attention. Paul also says that the greedy use their godliness as a source of gain. And I'm sad to say that we see this a lot in the church today. We see these celebrity pastors that like to try and flaunt their godliness to get themselves onto those million-dollar speaking engagements, or maybe just onto a talk show. And they tend to preach this seeker-sensitive, easy believism, and they never mention sin, and they don't mention the cross, but it gets people to think that they're nice. Maybe they're just hip enough where no one will find them offensive. Out in the world, we call this virtue signaling. It's not godliness. It's not righteousness. But they like to put themselves on the right side of a controversy and then call it godly. They call it courageous when actually what it is very thinly veiled cowardice, because they change their mind just as often as the culture does. So no one has to worry about giving them praise and following behind them, because there's no worry about it. They're just milquetoast. We see it all the time. We see it all the time. People sacrifice their principles on the altar of Twitter to the god of likes and acceptance. We see corporations bend the knee to the god of the mob in order to be blessed with more and more cash flow. Paul says, that's greed. That's not godliness. That is the distorted worship of a false god that may bring you some temporary worldly pleasure, but it will bring you eternal damnation and separation from the one true God of the Bible. Paul let Timothy know that this is a downward spiral. It gets worse and worse. Because these people, they want to be on the right side of the controversy. So they get themselves there. And then when they are there, then they flaunt it as godliness. And people start to go, oh yeah, that's good. I'm going to follow them. I'm going there. And they give them stuff. And they give them money. And then they start to love that stuff. They start to love that money. And it just brings them down and down into deeper and deeper realms of sin. Pretty bleak. Paul said all of this stuff. He told Timothy so many things. You know what Paul never told Timothy? He never told Timothy that he had to be poor. He tells him not to love money. There's a big difference between being poor and not loving money. Paul tells Timothy that he has to cling to his godly principles, that he has to love God first and foremost and follow his scriptures. Paul was not a rich man. Timothy was not a rich man. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It is undoubtedly going to get harder and harder for a principled Christian, which is the only kind of Christian, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to get harder and harder for us to be monetarily wealthy in this country, because if you have a Christian view on sexuality, on gender, on abortion, that's hate speech, and they will kick you off of social media for any of those things, and that will make it very hard to promote your business. We're seeing where banks won't even allow you to process donations if you hold the wrong opinion now. So get ready for that. But that doesn't mean that poverty is a virtue. That doesn't mean that we are called to be poor. It is not incumbent upon us to be poor. And I know, self-denial is a good thing. We learned in the fast that we did earlier as a church, self-denial when seeking God is a good thing. It helps us. It helps us to get rid of sin and draw nearer to God. But Paul doesn't say that we are meant to live that way. I mean, in some places, he says the exact opposite, right? In his letter to the Philippians, he says he thanks them for being so gracious and giving to him and providing him with his needs. And to the Corinthian church, he tells them that people should be paid for the work that they do, even if that work is of a spiritual nature. He says, basically, I should be getting paid to do this. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's check this out. He says, do we not have the right to eat and drink? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? Does the law not say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for the oxen that God is concerned? Does he certainly not speak for our sake? It was written for our sake because a plowman should plow in hope and the thresher thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, do we not even more? Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in its sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commands that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. That's why we give to missions, ladies and gentlemen. We work in hope of a wage. And we should not be afraid to be paid well. As Christians, we should not be afraid and ashamed of making a profit. Profit does not equal greed. Say it with me. Profit does not equal greed. Thank you. If we don't profit in the work that we do, what good is that work to us? And yes, we are called to be charitable, ladies and gentlemen. We are called to be charitable with our time, with our resources, with our wealth. Yes, amen. But if we do not make enough money and make a profit in order to feed, clothe, and shelter ourselves, then we can't give as we'd like. We become charity cases instead of charity givers. And guess what? All of this requires that a Christian works hard. Greed is looking for payment for subpar or non-existent work. Paul told the Corinthians, no, you get paid for the work that you do. You plow, you get some of the grain. You work the vineyard, you get some of the grapes. Tend the flock, you get some of the milk. If you work in the temple, you partake in the sacrifice. So we should work hard. We should take pride in the work that we're doing. And guess what? It's not even sinful to ask for a raise. If you feel like that ox that's being muzzled as you tread out that grain, then you should be able to ask your boss to take the muzzle off. One caveat. If you're asking to be unmuzzled, you better be pulling that plow. By the same token, ladies and gentlemen, if we have employees, Christians should be the world's best employers. Amen. We should, a sure sign that you're not greedy, pay your employees well. I mean, I'm not talking about some arbitrary amount that you're told to pay them. I'm talking about paying for the work that's being done and paying well for the work that's being done. It shows a respect for that work that's being done. It shows a respect for the person that's doing that work and a thankfulness that they are there doing the work for you. Because it's not about how much. It's about why. It's about for what purpose. And that why, that purpose, it becomes more and more clear to us the more we think about all the work that we do and all the things that we gain in this world, the more we think of it as transitory. We brought nothing into this world. We're not taking anything out. And that allows us to get our minds and our hearts away from the things of this world and put them on Christ. And we can be content in Christ. We can be content in Christ, and we don't need to use that godliness as worldly gain because our eternities are taken care of. That contentment, that assurance that our eternity is taken care of causes us not to fall into the traps and the snares of this world. And it causes us to be grateful for all that we've been given. And it allows us to give joyfully. To give to those who need it, to give to those causes that we know are righteous, because we're grateful for all that God has given to us. And we should be grateful. You're a Christian in here this morning. We should be grateful for all that God has blessed us with. We should be grateful that Christ died and has given us salvation. We should be grateful that the Lord God has pulled us out of our sin. Amen? And if we're grateful, why wouldn't we want everybody to know that gratefulness? Why wouldn't we want everybody to know how truly blessed we are in the Lord Christ Jesus? So what if we told them? What if every gift that we gave came with a gospel presentation? What if every tip we left came with an explanation of Christ's atoning work on the cross? What if every bonus we were blessed to give, what if every transaction we were a part of in our store or another, what if every paycheck we handed out came with the knowledge that we're doing this to the glory of God. We are doing this because God has blessed us in order to do so. What if we showed that gratefulness in everything that we did? I think then we would be truly prosperous. Because how much would God give you if he knew that you were going to be a conduit and not a collector? If he knew that you were going to be a steward and not a storehouse. Ladies and gentlemen, our prosperity, it should make us grateful, not greedy. But that seems to run counter to what Gordon Gekko said. What was it that Gordon Gekko said? He said, greed is good, greed is right, greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed in all its forms, greed for life, money, love, and knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind. It is greed that will save this company in these United States. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, he couldn't be more wrong. Greed is sin. Greed is idolatry. Greed does not satisfy. Greed obscures, mars, and chases away the Spirit of God. Greed for life kills. Greed for love divorces. Greed for money impoverishes. Greed for knowledge, it isolates us in our pride. All of these things, they inhibit the surge of the gospel. Greed will not save you. And greed will surely not save this country. Only Christ can do that. Let's stand. Let's pray this morning that God would help us to root out the greed in our hearts, that he would cause us to set a guard against it from it returning this morning. Lord, we come before you. God, we come before you as your church, as your bride, and we ask you to help us search our hearts for where greed might be hidden, where we might be greedy, where we might be worshiping a false idol, Lord. Greed is deceitful, God. Help us to discern where it is. Lord God, that we would be grateful for all that you have given us, Lord. You have given us so very much. Help us to be generous. Help us to be grateful. Help us to spread your kingdom, to spread your word, to spread the news of the salvation found in Christ Jesus to those that don't know it, Lord. For your sake, for your glory, Lord, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's worship.
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want. want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more. We're hanging on every word. 'Cause when you speak and when you move and when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see, what we seek. And when you come in the room and when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see, what we see. You're changing everything. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we're leaning into all you are. Everything else can wait. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, come now and breathe upon our hearts. Come now and have your way. 'Cause when you speak and when you move and when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see, what we seek. And when you come in the room and when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see, what we see. You're changing everything. When you move all our fears. Thank you. And when you move us to tears.
I've walked with the Lord almost 50 years, and yet my heart yearns for more. There's still more I want Him to do in me and through me. How about you? There's still stuff I want to say. I want that out of my life. I need that in me. I need to do this for you. Are you with me on that? So whether you've been walking with the Lord for a year or 50 like me, or whether you haven't started yet, and I encourage you, start today. You can go to our online bulletin and it will tell you how to invite Christ to come into your life. You don't need religion. You don't need that. You don't need to become a church person. You need a relationship with Jesus. That's what you need, because that's the game changer. You know, all the other stuff, it's not wrong. It just won't get you there. Lord, I pray before we do anything further and close this service out, I pray that there's somebody that's here today and doesn't really know you. They know about you. They've been around you. They know of you. But they've never encountered you. They've never invited you to come in and change their lives. I pray that that happens today. Simply, friends, just simply. You can go on our page and we'll show you how to do it. Or you can just do simple like this and just invite Him to come in. Just say, God, I need my life changed. I accept the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross. I receive that today. Forgive me my sins and put me on a new path. And He will. And you'll know it, because you'll never be the same. Challenge you to do that. God, we just, as we close this service, we trust you that for anybody that's here today that doesn't know, really know you, that they'll have that encounter today. Thank you, Father. Amen, friends. I'm about to release you. Of course, there will be a meeting that's going to be right over here, right immediately following the service. You get your kids, please pick up your children first and then come. Very brief meeting. We'll talk to you about the Blessing Project. You can sign up for that through the app. Let me just quickly, before we go, I want you to see this verse of Scripture. God gave me this verse of Scripture for you for this year. And I am praying and I'm believing that God is going to elevate you and promote you and bless you. But let's be careful to do what He tells us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Next Sunday morning, I've got 80 copies of this book, Radical Prosperity, that the series is being built around and on. We won't cover everything in it, but everything is in the book. And this is free to you next week. The Lord told me to buy a copy for you and give it to you, so I'm doing it. So hallelujah. Thanks, Lord, for this time that we've had together. Help us to go live it out. In Jesus' name. Amen, friends. Amen and amen. Get your kids. You can come back in here if you'd like to do that. But first of all, before anybody moves, let me just simply say this. If you are 65 and above, or you've got an immune issue that makes you a little susceptible, you're...